Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy to have you along for Local Matters for this Friday. I'm your host, Roy Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. And we are delighted to have you with us. Pastor Ron, how are you, sir?
I am doing great, Dwight. Good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to everybody. We're just excited about this taping today. I tell you, it's good, isn't it?
Just like Minnie Pearl, we're just proud to be here.
There you go.
Are you ready to unpack some more truth?
I am. I'm telling you, this is awesome. We've been having such a great time with this.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to look at a couple of verses today. You and I have talked about a little bit already as far as what we're going to cover. One of them is maybe the most familiar book in the Bible. And the next one is one that we need to look at a whole lot more.
There you go.
Might be one of the least familiar verses. And they're back to back, and they're in the book of John. And if you'd let me, I'll just take a minute and sort of set the table
go
here
ahead.
To put in context what we're going to be talking about. And when we read the verses in a minute, you'll get a better understanding of where we're going. The Bible itself, Ron, the older I get, the more I think, what a miraculous thing this Word of God is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't have to do this. I mean, but he gave us written word instructions for our life, relationship with man, relationship with God for now and for eternity. And there are four books in the Bible that give the accounts of when Jesus was on the earth. Jesus, all men without ceasing to be God. And those four books, as most people know, are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew, all of what Matthew has to say is for all of us, but he pointed his remarks toward the Jewish people. He was a Jewish man, a Jewish tax collector, and he takes the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. Of course, Mark is another one of those, the gospel according to Mark. Mark depicts Jesus as a servant, a suffering servant, so he really doesn't give a genealogy because it's not really important from that context. And then, of course, Luke is a Greek, a physician. He takes the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Adam because he's looking at Jesus, God, as a man. And looking at that aspect. And then John is just altogether different. The book we're going to look at the verses today, because in the very first chapter, the very first verse of the book of John, he says, and I get chills every time I say that. I mean, this is just, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Mm-hmm. He's talking about Jesus. So effectively, he's taking the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to God.
Yes.
Doesn't stop at Abraham. Doesn't stop at Adam. He said he's God on the earth. Uh-huh. And in fact, in one in his book in John, he says, there's a verse in chapter 21, I believe, where he says, you know, the mission for my writing here is that when you read what I have written, when you read these things, you can only come to one conclusion, that Jesus was the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And it's in the book of John that those seven great miracles, all the way from turning the water into wine to raising Lazarus from the dead, seven miracles there that documents that. But beyond that, Jesus uses that phrase, I am. The same thing that when Moses was told by God to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, Moses said, okay, who am I going to tell them sent me? And God said, you tell them I am sent you. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus started saying those I am statements, like I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, I am the true vine, that was God talk. He was saying, I am God on the earth. So that's why the book of John is so special. And it's all special. All 66 books are. But that sort of lays or sets the table, if you will, for the two verses that I believe probably over the next two shows we're going to try to unpack. We might not be able to get it done in two shows, but we'll do our best.
Okay? All right.
And listen to the verses. Now, obviously, as I said, you've heard them before. We're going to walk through them slowly and distinctly here. But John chapter 3, the first one, John 3:16. Well, John 3:16, John 3:17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So a lot for us, Pastor Ron, if it's okay with you. Let's just begin to walk through these two powerful scriptures, word by word, phrase by phrase, and kind of unpack this truth.
Well, I mean, you look at this, Dwight, I mean, the first two words you could spend eternity on, for God, you know, I mean, it's like God started this whole thing. And so that should let us know from a practical standpoint that if God started the whole thing in regard to our relationship with him, and I've heard you say this many times, and I believe this with all of my heart, the whole book is about God.
Yeah.
The Bible is about God. If you want to get to know God, read the book. And so, but he says, for God. And what he's saying there is that God initiated something here that really Dwight, you know, if you think about it, the only way we can mess this up is to reject what he initiated. I tell our folks all the time, don't reject your acceptance.
Yeah.
You know, if God is trying to do something to get involved with your life, you know, if he wanted to hurt you, he could. Obviously, he's God. It's not his intent to hurt or to bring pain. His intent is to be involved with our lives, to make our lives better. And it says here for God, meaning that God started this whole thing off. God is the one that initiated it. And, you know, I kind of feel like in my heart, God may be dealing with some of our listeners that you've been running from him for a long time from a religious standpoint, thinking that he's out to get you, he's going to take from you. But he has no intention at all. For God so loved that he gave, the only intention that God has here is to give something into your life.
Wow. And, you know, I love the way you say that, Pastor Ron, because for God, it all begins with God.
Mm-hmm.
Even the first verse of the first book of the Bible, in the beginning, God.
Yes.
In the beginning. In words, in the beginning, God was already there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God has no beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So when what we mark as the beginning, God was already there.
There you go.
And then it says in John 1:1, as I've already quoted, in the beginning was the Word, referring to Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it all begins with God.
Yes. And learning about his character, Dwight, is so much more than a religious topic. You know, it's like religion really has hurt God in a lot of ways because, you know, you can be religious about fishing. You can be religious about a lot of things. We're not talking about religion here. We're talking about learning who he is, learning his character. After you walk with the Lord for a while and you do realize, I look back on this verse and I think, man, I mean, I've seen this verse put up at football games. You know how they used to do, I don't know if they still do that, John 3:16.
The guy with the big green hair.
Or you've heard of John 3:16 all your life, but really, I had to ask myself at one point in my life, do I really know that God loves me? You know, when you look at your circumstances sometimes, the circumstances don't match up with that, and you think, well, if God loved me, he'd help me pay my light bill. If God loved me, this accident would have happened. If God loved me, this would have happened. Or if God loved people, why are they starving? If God loved people, why would all this happen? Well, you know, there is a devil. You know, we have to look at the fact that God so loved the world that we wouldn't perish, but there are people perishing all the time because of their own will, their own heart. They're perishing a lot of times because of the curse on the earth, because of Adam. And then they're perishing a lot of times because of the devil. So when we think about why things happen, why is it that we always blame God first? You know, why don't we look at his word and say, wait just a minute. Jesus said he came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly, and the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If something is stealing, killing, and destroying for my life, it's not God.
That's right.
Because his word says, he so loved me.
Yeah. We're glad you're with us on this Friday afternoon. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. We're unpacking the two verses in the book of John, John 3:16 and John 3:17, and we're just getting started with the first phrase, for God. It all begins with God. And I love, Pastor Ron, how you segued into those next two words, so loved.
Yes.
I just love, but so loved. You see, God, the Bible is about God. He's the primary character in the Bible. The primary theme in the Bible, and we see it in all 66 books, is the redemption of mankind.
Yes.
Bringing mankind back into relationship with God. And it's because he loved us. And as I see that, Pastor Ron, and I'd love to get your comments on this. You know, when man fell, the original sin in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned, you know, first of all, it didn't catch God by surprise. He didn't say, man, I didn't see that one coming. You know, but there was a dilemma. You know, sin had to be judged. Mm-hmm. It had to be punished, in other words. But he so loved us. But it had to be dealt. But he loved us. Mm-hmm. He so loved us. So what the plan was that he had in place from the foundation of the earth, he knew what he was going to do. He basically sent himself to the earth in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, to become the perpetrator of the crime or the perpetrator of the sin. Even though Jesus was all man without ceasing to be God, he never sinned. He faced sin as a man. He never sinned. But when he died a cruel death of crucifixion, his spirit left his body, went to hell itself. He took punishment that we deserved, and thus we are accepted because of what he did, because he He became the criminal himself. He not only died for us, he died as us.
Mm-hmm.
He became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in
yes.
Christ Jesus because he so loved us.
And you think about, you know, you go back to that original thing there, Dwight, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned. Here, you know, we look at For God So Loved the World. When Adam and Eve sinned, God actually he took an animal hide and covered them in their nakedness. Now think about that. If God wanted to get somebody, what a better opportunity there to strike somebody dead. You hear that all the time, you know, you better watch that. God will strike you dead. You know, I mean, I've heard people say that. It's like the most craziest thing I've ever heard. If God wanted you dead, he wouldn't even fool with you. You know
That's
what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, why would he even fool with
you? You're dead already.
Yeah, you'd be dead. But see, the thing of it here is, we look back at the Garden of Eden all through the Scriptures. I mean, if you take time to look at the Scriptures, you see a God that's continually trying to redeem,
yeah,
continually trying to help, continually trying to prosper, continually trying to make things better for man. And so when we look at this, we look at Calvary, and we realize that in the plan of Jesus coming, the practical part of that is, you know, he took the pain, he took the sin, he took the judgment, he took the punishment. He took the guilt, he took the shame, he took the torment, he took the worry, so we don't have to.
The sickness, you know, the poverty, all of that.
He took all of that. He took it so that we wouldn't have to. And in people say, well, where is God's love? Well, where I don't see God's love. Well, all you have to do is look at what he did. Romans chapter 5 says it real clearly. I think it's down around about the 8th or 9th verse that he says, even when we were enemies, God demonstrated his love for us by sending Jesus. I mean, that's the act of love. The issue that we don't like to deal with is the act of faith to believe and receive that.
Yes.
You know, that's the act of love, but we have to be people that would, by faith, receive what God wants us to receive, and that is his love.
Yeah. And when we get back, I want us to walk into that a little bit more. I love what you said, don't reject your acceptance.
Yeah.
And it is done by grace through faith.
Yes.
We are unpacking John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. You stay with us. We're back with more in a moment on Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Back on Local Matters, happy to have you with us. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen, unpacking truth this Friday afternoon. So much fun.
Hey, man, enjoyable. It's awesome.
It gets stirred up inside me.
Preach on us if we're not careful, aren't we?
We are looking at, as we said at the beginning of the show, probably the most familiar verse in the Bible, and then the one that follows is one of the least familiar, but we need to focus on it too, John 3:16 and 17, and we just got started on John 3:16. For God so loved. That's what God is. God is love.
And Dwight, we were talking about the sacrifice, you know, of the Lord Jesus in God demonstrating his love for us. And what the Lord is waiting on, the Scripture says in James 5 that he's waiting on the precious fruit of the earth, and that's us. Romans 8 says the whole earth is groaning and travailing, and that's where all the earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, and hurricanes come from. You know, it says the whole earth is groaning and travailing until the sons of God are manifested in the earth. It didn't say God is sending those things.
Yes, that's true.
It says the earth is in birth pangs waiting for the sons of God to stand up and say, I am a child of the living God that is loved by God. I have authority. I know who I am. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I am the righteousness of God. Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. And I have some confidence about living this life. I'm not going to wait for every little circumstances to whine and to blame God and to have pity about why it happened. I'm going to be someone that will do something in regard to pursuing this great love that God has for me. And Dwight, we see plainly here. I mean, you'd have to be blind and really, really be a very false person to not look at this, that God so loved the world that he didn't want the world to perish.
Yeah.
I mean, that says it all. God does not want people to perish. We know, I mean, we've lived life long enough to see people die prematurely. We've seen accidents and tragedies happen. We've seen things happen that we really didn't understand and didn't know why. But we should really be the first people to not blame God.
Yeah.
We should be the first people to say, wait just a minute. His word says that he so loved the world. Now, am I going to take his word, what his word says, or am I going to look at these circumstances? Am I going to believe the circumstances above the written word? When we do that, what we're doing, Dwight, and a lot of people don't realize this, we are actually condemning God so that we can be right. Our opinion about the situation is what's right, not what God said, but our opinion about it is right. I can look at someone or even have been in a tragedy or look at someone that's been in a tragedy or something that's gone wrong, someone that's having a very hard time financially or someone that's going through a sickness or disease. And, you know, any of us can look at those things and say, God, why? But that is such a cop-out in regard to the Word of God, what the Word says. And we can choose to say, why, God, why, or get into pity, or we can, I think it's Joyce Meyer that says we can be pitiful or we can be powerful.
Yeah.
We can take the Word of God that says, wait just a minute. His Word says he so loved me. Now, love doesn't do that. Love doesn't do those things. The Scripture gives a definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. It's kind. It's patient. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. I mean, the love of God is so revealed in his word, we have to get to the place that we'll take the word of God above those circumstances.
You know, this verse rises up in me, and I don't hear this as much as I used to, but, you know, don't you know that the Bible says that God chastises those he loves? Mm. Well, you know, if you study that word in the Greek, it doesn't mean break your leg. It doesn't mean take your job. It doesn't mean kill your dog. It doesn't mean any of that. It means a nudging, a pricking of the spirit, when we react, say, do something that we know is contrary to who we are, who we are in Christ Jesus, the new creature that we are. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we go out and we get on a path or we start doing something, and it's that chastisement is that prick in your spirit, that because our new man is offended by that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can stay on that path, and we just, you know, and that prick may not be as loud, but that is not breaking your leg. It is a conviction in your spirit.
Well, what happens, Dwight, God is trying to keep us from getting the leg broken.
It's exactly right.
And if we continue on that path, I mean, it could be a broken leg. It could be dying of a heart attack. It could be a lot of things, but God is not leaving us without the warnings. He's not leaving us without the inward witness. His love will witness.
And that's
us.
A chastisement.
That is. Yeah. That's what the chastisement is. It's not God. See, people look at that and say, well, it resulted in a broken leg, so God broke the leg. I heard a guy one time say, this boy that I knew had a horrible traffic accident. I mean, tore him up bad. He was taken to Nashville. And I heard this deacon of this church say, well, God is just whipping him, you know. I mean, it's like,
oh yeah, you know, it's out there still.
It just breaks your heart for people to realize that they think that God was the author of that, when all the time God, through his love, was trying to prevent that.
Yeah.
But we're so stubborn and we're so heady and high-minded and intellectual and egotistical that we won't humble ourselves to slow down and listen to the pricking of the Holy Spirit, to the quickening of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds to avoid those things. God is not willing that any should perish.
But that all come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
All come
For to God so loved the world. And you know, Dwight, this is what's so amazing to me. When I think about this scripture, and this may tick off a lot of church folks, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Now stay with us.
True.
Don't change your station now.
That's right. It says, for God so loved the world. Not just the church world. He so loved the world. That means...
I was going to ask you to talk about that phrase, the world. Elaborate on that.
You know, Dwight, that means God... You know, we minister jails, quite a few jails around in the area, and I go to the men's side, and I tell the men, I say, you know, guys, God don't love you any less than he loves anybody up at the church. You know, he loves you. It's not, see, it's not a matter. God's love is here like a balloon hanging over us full of water. And he's waiting on us to prick that balloon and let that water just soak us, saturate us. But you know what, Dwight? You can be thirsty and sitting in the middle of a lake. You can be sitting in the middle of the coolest, beautiful spring water and die of thirst if you don't take a drink.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right there.
I mean, and this love is here, but we partake of this love. The world has to partake of this love. The church has to partake of this love by faith.
Yeah.
We do it by faith because of the grace of God that's given us. And this by faith means that you're going to look at the Word of God. You're going to, his Word puts the faith factor down for us so we can look at his Word and get the answers and not be flip-flopping to and fro and tossed everywhere in the world because of all the changing winds and circumstances.
You know, by the way, happy to have you with us this afternoon. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. We're unpacking truth. Specifically, we're looking at John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And I love the way that you talked about, for God so loved the world. I know as a hospice chaplain, which is what I do day in and day out, you know, I get to encounter folks, some who know the Lord, walked with him a long time, been Christians, been saved since they were young people, and some who don't, and maybe have gone down a path that brought that death quicker into their lives, you know, maybe than it would have happened. But I'm learning, and I've learned when I walk, and particularly when I learned it, that there's somebody who may not have a personal relationship with God, and now they've got the news that maybe they're in the last few months or sometime last few days of their lives. You know, I'm learning this to walk into their presence, Pastor Ron, and go, you know, I got some great news for you.
Amen.
I'm thinking about one fellow who had cirrhosis. He was in his early 40s that we took care of a few years ago and really had never had much of a conversation with him about Jesus. But I walked in, and he was at a point where he could hardly talk anymore. I said, I got some great news for you, man. He said, what? I said, God loves you.
Amen.
I mean, just said that, and you can see their countenance change.
Yep.
Because it's just like you said, no matter what path you're on, what you've done or not done, his love is not based on our performance.
No.
His love is based on the performance of Jesus Christ.
His love was given to us, Dwight, before we were ever born.
I mean,
in his demonstrating his love for us by sending Jesus when we were enemies. That's what Romans chapter 5 says, that even when we're enemies, he demonstrated his love for us. See, but you know, when you say that to folks, and when I say that to folks, you know, I've got good news for you. God loves you. You know, Dwight, I said that to a lady one time. She says, she cursed. I'm not going to say what she said, but she said, I know God loves me. It's all these people that's bothering me.
Got no problem with God.
I don't have no problem with God loving me. It's all these people I'm having to deal with. And, you know, that's just a fact of life. But here's the key to that. Now, I brought that up for a purpose because 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Well, see, you won't be able to endure the people problems if you don't know the love of God for you. People are going to be and do what people do.
Yeah.
People have got to get over and quit thinking that everybody's doing something because of them. Let me let you in on a secret. You're not that important. You know what I mean? We've got to get to the place where we realize God's love for us is unconditional, regardless of what people do, because if we base it all the time on how people treat us, what they say, what they do, what they don't do, that they should do, man, we're going to be a basket case thinking that they're our source when really people are simply a resource. God has to be our source of that love. And if we get to looking to people and thinking that these people are going to be that's it, this woman is it, or that man's this man is it, this man's the one, this woman's the one, Dwight, we ultimately end up being very bruised, wounded, and brokenhearted because we're putting expectations on people that only God can bring us. And the only way we can have a good balance in those love relationships with people is to realize that God is the ultimate source. For God so loved the world. It didn't say, my wife so loved the world.
Yeah.
It said, for God so loved the world that he gave. When we get that rooted correctly, then we're going to be established in this verse.
You know, it's hard to believe we just got a couple minutes left in the show.
My.
But there's always next week. Unless Jesus comes, then it won't matter. But you know, how many times have I heard, you've heard, I don't know if I've ever said it, but I heard it, that, you know, they get disappointed and say, well, if he's such a Christian, what about this? And maybe they get disappointed just as long as we're not in a pastor and a person and a Christian. Well, but you know, the Bible says to mark the perfect man. Mm-hmm. You know, that the perfect man is Jesus. That's our standard.
Yes, that's
our model. And if I'm looking at somebody else, if I look at anybody else long enough, they're going to disappoint me. Somebody looks at me, you know. And so to get offended at someone or some action or some deed and just say, well, if that's Christianity, I don't want any part of it. No, that's the wrong model. Mm-hmm. Our model is Jesus Christ. You know, these are great, great verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that that the world through him might be saved. And we're going to pick up right there next week as we unpack these two verses.
Hallelujah.
Look forward to it.
Amen, Dwight.
Join us again next Friday for Unpacking Truth on Local Matters.